Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Benedict XVI's apostolic journey to Cyprus began in Paphos, the very place where the apostles Paul and Barnabas once preached, as recounted in the Acts of the Apostles. That's why, in a few moments, I'd like to bring you the story of Barnabas, this well-to-do Jew from this Mediterranean island, so often mentioned in the Acts. And according to the scripture scholar we're about to listen to, a giant figure from our family tree of faith. Let's listen then to our scripture scholar. He's Mark Coleridge, Archbishop of Canberra and Goulburn in Australia.
Today I want to introduce you to a well-to-do Jew who this time comes from the diaspora, from outside Palestine, that is. This particular man, one of our forebears in faith, came from Cyprus, and his name was Joseph. But again, like Peter, he's much better known to us by his nickname, Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Now, this gives us a first glimpse into the personality of this fascinating character. He must have been one of those encouraging types of people. You know what I mean? There are some people who are just like that. Hence the nickname that he gets in history, Barnabas. Now, I find him a particularly fascinating figure because when you read the New Testament, it's almost as if he gets deliberately written out. We are talking about one of the giants of early Christianity, the early church. But more and more as you read on through the New Testament, you're left wondering what happened to Barnabas. He just plummets off into a black hole. And he isn't big news these days. I mean, when is St. Barnabas' feast? Good question. Can you answer it off the top of your head? And in the whole of Rome, certainly in the Centro Storico, there is not a single church, incredibly, dedicated to Barnabas. So not only does he get written out of the Bible, it's almost as if he gets written out of the city of Rome. So what happened to Barnabas? Joseph from Cyprus. He came to Jerusalem eventually and became a Christian. Not only did he become a Christian, but he became a highly respected member of the Jerusalem community. In part, this was because he had a block of land somewhere which he sold and he gave the proceeds to the apostles in Jerusalem. That's always an extremely good way to become a respected member of the community. But there were many other reasons as well. Let me explain to you why he's one of the giants of primitive Christianity, the early church. First of all, it was Barnabas who bit the bullet and introduced Paul to the Jerusalem church. Now consider, Paul was the great persecutor of Christianity. Therefore, when he appears on the scene preaching the gospel, he was a figure treated with the greatest of suspicion, and many of the people in Jerusalem were saying, "Don't trust him." Well, it was Barnabas who took Paul by the hand and introduced him to the apostles and to the community in Jerusalem in one of the most fateful introductions in human history, not just in the life of the church. Secondly, when they began to preach the gospel to Gentiles in Antioch, up in Jerusalem, a lot of red lights, or at least amber lights, began to flash, and people were saying, "Stop it, the gospel is only for Jews. You can't preach to Gentiles." At this point of enormous controversy, the Jerusalem church, the mother church, chose Barnabas to go down to Antioch to make the crucial discernment, was this of God or not? So Barnabas goes down, he sees what's happening, agrees it's extraordinary, but he makes the crucial discernment for the whole of history that this is of God. The gospel is for everyone, not just for Jews. But he makes a second crucial discernment because he knows that in this volatile scene in Antioch, he needs the right kind of leadership team. So therefore, the question of recruitment becomes crucial. Who do we recruit? Who do we need in the leadership team in this church in Antioch? And suddenly the penny drops late one night and he thinks, Paul. Paul has gone back to Tarsus, has been there for some years. Barnabas goes to Tarsus, puts it to Paul and brings Paul back to Antioch. So it's Barnabas who not only introduces Paul to the Jerusalem community in the first place, but who brings him back onto the stage of history and makes him the great apostle that he becomes. When the church in Antioch decides that it's time for mission outside Palestine, the man they choose to lead the first ever Christian mission outside Palestine is Barnabas, not Paul. Paul is the vice captain, as it were. So the first ever Christian mission outside Palestine is a Barnabite mission. Now, when there is the great brawl in Antioch, this disagreement about Jewish and Gentile Christians, how they should relate to each other, Barnabas agreed with Peter and disagreed with Paul. So at that point, you get a great split between these two great friends and allies. Paul goes his way and Barnabas goes his. Two missionary teams. Barnabas, we are told, takes with him John Mark, whom he had on the first ever Christian mission outside Palestine, and he returns to his native Cyprus to confirm the missionary work that he, Paul, and John Mark had done in the first place. At that point, he gets written out. What happened to him? There's a tradition that, in fact, he was martyred eventually in Cyprus, but in the end, we don't know. So there you have it, a man and one of the giants of the early church who seemed so triumphantly a winner at the start, but who in the end seems a kind of loser as he goes off into the black hole of history and to a kind of anonymity. When's his feast? Hard to know. Why no church in Rome? Hard to know. But what is easy to know is that every one of us, deep down, bear his spiritual genes. In other words, we're all Barnabites, all of us sons of the Son of Encouragement.
You were listening there to Scripture scholar Mark Coleridge, Archbishop of Canberra and Goulburn in Australia. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.